Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 143. And we're just taking a little breather. We're filming this on the first rest day of USA's. There's been, I mean, as we all knew, the final day of the first half of USA's was absolute batshit crazy. Lots of highs, lots of lows. We're going to cover it all, give our reaction, see how we're doing so far in our prediction contest, which, I mean, is it exactly half of the distance races have happened? It feels like more, but maybe that's just because all our teammates raced already.
It feels like it must be half.
Feels like it must be.
Must be one of each.
It's at the rest day right now. It's rest day when we're filming, so I think it's halfway. Yeah.
We're on the Olympic trial schedule as well. Yep. We're following the
our lives. Follow along, but yeah, we have all USA action to get into. We even had a man on the ground there in Eugene, so we'll have some live reports from George as well. Before we get into it. Because we will probably spend most of this episode talking about USA's. First off, we have to give a big shout out to Jakob and Elizabeth on the birth of their daughter, I believe.
Yep.
Philippa.
Yep.
I don't know what a Norwegian accent sounds like, so I don't know how you would.
I feel like people over exaggerate some of their names, and it's just what you think it is when you read it.
So, what do you think is
Philippa?
Nickname Philip.
Philly, young Philly.
Philip and Uncle Philip.
Yeah.
I mean, named after, obviously, the Penn Relays, Benjamin Franklin. I mean, people should have seen that, you know, Penn, Philly, Philippa, Ben Franklin. I was watching Geordie just figure that out
didn't
with his
make
brain.
That connection.
It's a really obvious connection.
It's an obvious connection that, you know, Jakob's a big fan of Penn Relays and, you know, obviously an island as a brand. So he named his daughter after that.
Yeah. He's got that dad strength now.
That's how is anyone going to beat him now that he's a father?
His first race as a dad. She timed it amazingly. Also, in between.
Oh, I'm sure they had that scheduled. I'm sure they had that scheduled to make
after Europeans, before nationals, like where he's already in his hometown. That couldn't have worked out any better.
Perfect timing. Yeah, I was talking to Cinta about it today, and she was like, she was kind of putting the pieces together because she was like, "Wait, I saw him here in St. Mary's like 2 days ago, but actually, then yesterday I saw his brothers here, but he wasn't here." So he must have gone down. He must have known. He must have gone back the day before. I don't know how easy that travel is, but
yeah, it's impressive. Impressive travel, if that's the case.
Got it done, and he was there. And were you there, Ollie? Did you?
I got the phone call.
You FaceTime in?
I got the call up, but I humbly rejected the godfather position. I think, you know, there's a bit of... I think the brothers should maybe... be a godfather. I don't know why I was selected for that, but you know, I appreciate it. But yeah, I got the call up and I appreciate it. I mean, my name didn't go through, but it's fine. So
very
I had a, I had a name available, but it doesn't matter.
What was your name?
Olivia.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
Yeah,
that would have been perfect. Maybe the next one.
Maybe the next one. Yeah,
you'll get in there. But as George already alluded to, USA's takes fucking 12 days. Other countries
weekend.
It's a weekend.
Yeah.
And a lot of the big ones occur this upcoming weekend. And so there's going to be so much amazing racing. Got to give a big shout out to our teammates, Cinta at Italian Champs and Meyer at Spanish Champs, both in the 1500. Going to have some very, very, very good races in them. So best of luck to them. I know Cinta's race is going to be a really good race. I imagine the men's Spanish 1500 meters no longer does have
the Black Cat
Mo Katia, but still going to be a very stacked race with Adele in there. And I think a few others that are, I don't know if anyone else has the standard in the 15.
I think.
Do they?
Yeah.
They're just rankings.
I think three of them have it, but I think five of them are on rankings.
Okay. So it's so like pretty stacked.
I think if.
Yeah, it's definitely not cut and dry, I think.
No, I think if you're top three at this, it's pretty good likelihood you will go, even if you don't have the standard. But, I mean, don't quote me on that. That's just what I remember being mentioned. And then with Cinta, what about the Italians?
The Cinta, I mean, for her, it's, I think similar to maybe what it's like a Spanish chance, where the race will be really important. It'll definitely be important. And it's not like straight top three necessarily qualified, but I think there are a lot of really, really good women. So coming top three,
it's going to help.
Is going to be like the biggest, maybe the biggest thing to put your name forward ahead of the others. So those will be stacked. And then the Norwegian one. Apparently it's a showdown between Jakob and Nordahl.
Apparently it is.
What do you guys think about that?
I can't wait. I've been talking about it. I can't wait.
Is he doubling? Is he entered in the five as well?
I
did
not.
See something about it. It was like Jakob had declared for both or something and Henrik only for one.
Okay.
But then...
Is Philip racing? Do we know? Not Philip, huh? Philip?
And then Nordahl.
He hasn't raced all season.
I don't think Philip's been racing.
Apparently Philip was training up in St. Moritz, I think.
Mm.
But
it could be for the Doco.
True.
But after Europeans, Nordahl doesn't look very close to Jakob, but it'll still be entertaining.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Nordahl hasn't looked quite as good yet this year. Maybe he's just...
Yeah, but I mean, let's see what happens. I feel like things can turn around very quickly in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing is that it's also the last, the final weekend of the Olympic qualifying window. So someone wants to qualify for the Olympics. This is it. This is the last weekend.
And the national championships are normally pretty good for rankings. I think normally they're like a B or A category. I think B, I don't know. But you, for winning a B race, still you get pretty good bonus points. So, for example, in the 5K, the standard is 13:05. But if you ran 13:30 and you won a B race, you actually still get like points close to like what you would get for running the standard. So quite a bit can change. It's just often national champs don't tend to be the quickest races, but sometimes they get it set up pretty well. So there definitely will be some spicy ones. I mean, we'll get to it in a bit, but there's also some other meets being set up, like the Penn Relays Summer Showdown, which I didn't know existed until...
The what?
I don't know if that's what it's actually called, but that...
It's so called something like that.
There's a race at Penn, and they've just added a steeplechase to it for... Is his first name James?
Corrigan. James Corrigan, yeah.
For the BYU kid who came third in the... In the US steeple, he doesn't have the time, and I don't think he's like close on rankings at all. So he has to go for the standard. So he's going for it over in Philly at this upcoming weekend.
That's crazy, huh?
But the Norway championships will be sick because obviously there's no one close to Jakob's level in the 5K, but there are a lot of good Norwegian 5K runners, like young ones as well. I know that'd be pretty crazy if Nordahl also doubled and did the 5K as well.
Mm.
They just doubled up against each other. And the really, really, the other national championships that we're talking about the most is the UK, just because the UK men's, I mean, the women's, like across all events, but we've been talking about the UK men's 1500 meter team a lot. So that one is going to be crazy. I don't even know how it's going to go.
I was
going
to say, is Josh even running?
No, he's running the 800.
Is that confirmed?
Yep.
Okay. So Josh has his auto qualification, which you get for being like the best runner in the world, I guess.
There's some fine print. Some fine print. It says, you don't have to run.
Yeah.
If you medaled at the Olympics before and then you've won a world championships, you're probably okay. Yeah. So he's okay. We got Whiteman.
So fighting for two spots.
Yeah, Whiteman, Elliot Giles, George Mills,
Neil Gurley.
Fog Dog.
Foggy.
There's a few others really good
ones.
Is
Matt Stonier racing at all? That guy
He has the standard, but yeah. I think he's been hurt.
Yeah, there's a few like that.
There's a few like that who are like really
have
good,
really quick times,
but they haven't been racing as much.
So top two.
Yeah,
they will just take top two, right?
I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I'm guessing. I don't know if it's automatic, but I think so. Surely, when you have so many guys at a similar level, how else can you decide apart from that? So I don't know when that is. I assume that's probably on, actually, I'm not going to assume, Saturday, Sunday, one of those two. So that'll be sick. Lots of really good national championships, lots on the line as we're seeing. So it'll be cool. Us three boys, our national championships came and passed a long time ago. So we get to chill. which is...
I mean, we... Yeah, but we haven't really been chilling. We won't chill until July 3rd when the team gets announced.
This is true.
We haven't really been chilling. We've been trying to make sure that we put our best foot forward, except for George, who is chilling. But the two of us, I guess, not so much.
I just had this thought. So I did my double yesterday at around 6 p.m. And Yared's race was around 6:45 p.m. So about 15, 10 minutes before it, I hopped in the shower. And I just like, it just kind of hit me like how big of a deal that race is. And I was just hopping in the shower and I was like really tired. I was like, I cannot imagine getting up for like a massive race like that right now. I'm so happy I don't have to compete in USA's in that moment. So it is, it's just so much pressure. And actually I listened to Cole's post-race interview and he was talking about how the pressure is actually like for most of them, like way higher at USA's than it is at Worlds or the Olympics, you know? There's just so much more to lose, really.
Yeah.
So, I guess...
I think that makes sense.
We're lucky,
you know? Do you reckon that should change? I mean, we can talk about that once we get into the results, but, like, maybe one pick is discretionary? Top two?
I think there's too many good people and too much money involved with the US, whereas if you let politics come in at all, it's just too much, and then also it just makes the... It makes the drama of the U.S. Olympic trials just...
Speaking of drama...
So high.
I don't know if you guys recently saw this before we get into USA's, but they did talk to Seagull and the big wigs that make most of the money with USA Track and Field. And the question came up about 2028 and maybe competing the trials at the Coliseum, which would be insane. Like, imagine doing the trials there. It'd be epic. But they were very hard against it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Which I couldn't believe as well. But then I also realized why they're in Eugene and where the money comes from, which is Nike. So Nike wouldn't have as much of a pull maybe in the Coliseum in Los Angeles as they do in Eugene, where Nike's like pretty much paying those guys a shit ton of money as the federation kit. So
yeah, that shocks me.
It does shock me, though, because... And a lot of people were very... I mean, people have been anti-Seagull for quite a while, but it shocks me that you wouldn't do that, considering that it would be amazing hype and you'd get... I mean, that Coliseum as well could fit so many more people. You'd be able to get
I think you would just want your US athletes to have that experience going into the Olympics as well.
Yeah, that too. Plus, it'd be, like, an incredible experience for not just, I mean, the athletes, but the spectators too.
I think there's something to be said for not competing in the Olympic Stadium before the Olympics, though. It's not like any other stadium. I'm trying to think. Paris isn't hosting anything before the Olympics.
That's what I was about to ask. The Diamond League isn't in the Olympic Stadium?
It's not in the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, fair.
Like, I'm trying to think the ones before that.
I think they might have done it in the ones before, though, but it depends if the stadium's ready or not, because the Paris Stadium might not be ready necessarily. The Tokyo Stadium was during COVID.
Yeah, London, I don't think they had any races before.
It might be just the readiness issue. But, I mean, the Coliseum, I'm sure they might not have it ready before the trials. Maybe that's a factor in it, but...
Yeah, the quote that I saw from, I'm not sure his name, but he was the guy who's like the head of the LA 2028 like committee. He said that he thought that it would, like, hosting it in LA compared to hosting it in the normal location of Eugene would add extra stress to the athletes' preparations, which he didn't want, which to me sounded like, I don't know, like, really?
It's still stress wherever you go. Yeah. Just stress and freaking...
Like, I didn't really buy that reason. I'm sure it's more related to money and, like, planning type stuff. I imagine it's more related to that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the stadium, like, they didn't want to put the pressure on the workers or whatever to have the stadium ready to go, like, 2 months before or something like that. That would actually make more sense to me. But, yeah. I wonder if they'll do the swim trials. No, there's no way they'll do the swim trials in SoFi Stadium.
They have in the past. Swimming, the pool's usually ready. I mean, Paris, they have to remeasure the pool. I don't know if you guys saw that, but the pool
really?
Is incorrect measurement. Yeah, they have to redo it.
They have to remake the pool.
Yeah. Paris, actually, the Paris Olympics at the moment is going to be an absolute shit show.
I'm so scared about the protesting.
I'm sure you guys have heard about the protesting with the... What do they call it? Pooping the Somme or something?
What?
They've been defecating in the river.
Yeah.
The locals, the French, to protest against the Olympics.
That's crazy to me.
I mean, it's not a very, very popular thing.
I don't know if they were just doing it randomly.
No, they were. It was a protest. It wasn't random. They organized it. It was a protest.
Yeah.
They were shitting in the Somme.
In the Seine.
pronunciation.
Apparently that river already has like three times above
They've been trying to clean it.
Bacteria that you're like meant to have for...
It's just because the mayor said he'd swim in it.
They spent $1 billion trying to clean it. It's still not clean. It's still not up to code. Well, whatever the code is for the requirements. And there's going to be a huge heat wave in there as well. And there's issues with athletes, particularly poor country athletes, with dealing with air conditionings and things like that. Because the US OC came out saying that they will have air conditioning for all the athletes. And then other federations are following suit. But there's been calls to get the IOC involved.
Wouldn't that be for well-being? The IOC?
To do it.
The village?
Yeah, they're the ones that aren't paying for it, and people are protesting that as well to push the IOC to... Not because like, oh, it's just going to be really stuffy and hot, but apparently it could be like hazardous to be in like a small room like that in the heat that's coming for the Olympic Games.
Who's telling you this forecast? This weather forecast?
It's been known for a few weeks now. It's all over the fucking, you know, social media expert Ollie Hall is telling you it's all over the media at the moment.
You're reading the stars.
But... yeah, it should be interesting. I wonder how the Olympics is going to go. I mean, people say that before every Olympics and then it turns out fine, so.
Yeah.
Should be fine.
Apart from the last one.
The last one was fine. It was just COVID.
Yeah, except the host country probably lost about a few billion dollars.
Yeah, they lost a little money. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just crazy to me that... I mean, it's not crazy to me. It makes... Like, people are going to protest stuff all the time. But now, the closer I get to it, I think the more I'm like, yeah, thinking about like French people in Paris, I'm like, they probably did not give a fuck about the Olympics going on.
They probably hate it.
They're probably like, what is this? Like, it makes my walk to work like 10 minutes longer. Like, I'm not going to accept that.
Yeah. Apparently subway, I don't know, what do they call it? Metro?
Metro.
Metro fears at Dublin.
Oh, yeah.
For the games.
That's from an like instant protest right there.
€3 to like €6 or something. Or 2.50 to 5, whatever it is.
All right, shut it down.
Just being doubled.
It's not going to happen.
While we're there.
That's brutal. I don't even know how we started talking about this. Oh, yeah, we're talking about LA.
The seagull, yeah. But we can get into the action, the meat of the sandwich.
Just got distracted by the next Olympics before these ones have happened.
We'll take a step back. Take a step back to this Olympics and take even a further step back to the US Olympic trials taking place in Eugene. I find it so funny how in the broadcast... Okay, a few things about the broadcast. One, the Olympics is such a buzzword. They just want to mention it as much as possible. They will call the winner the Olympic trials champion before they'll call them the US champion. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
100%.
They just like use, it's just like, they don't even act like it's a US nationals. They just like...
I would hate that because when you have Olympic in front of something saying champion, that just defeats...
I think they were basically saying, in the 1500 it was like, Yared was the defending US champion, but Cole was the defending Olympic trials champion.
Yeah, as if it's like the same or maybe even bigger. But yeah, they love to do that. And then also, how many times have you guys watched the... I don't know if you've been watching the broadcast. How many times have you guys seen Zendaya, the on ad? It's the first ad.
Every single time
every
I open
single
Peacock.
Ad break. I've seen that ad probably like 100 times now.
How do you feel about it, Morgs?
I mean, okay.
Together.
I think it's a really good commercial. However, when I watch it, to me, it seems more like a premium commercial, if that makes sense. So it seems more impactful if I saw it like once or twice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maybe you're being targeted. Maybe you're not seeing what everyone else is seeing.
Maybe. But now
is it on Peacock or NBC? Like, which stream are you watching?
You know, whatever's available on the Discord. It's not up to me.
I feel like everyone's been using the Discord now.
It's not up to me. But I think I've just seen it so many times that I mean, probably if you watch any ad that many times, it starts to lose its shine. I mean, it's such a sick ad, though. But, yeah, it's lost its shine a little bit to me.
You think about, like, top brands, like, I mean, maybe Gucci's a bit too top, but, like, a lot of those designer brands, they don't have that many commercials. But you said it's like a premium brand, right? Premium commercial. So they might have like one commercial every so often. But you're saying, was it every break?
I think for me, and when I say me, I mean whoever's streaming on the Discord.
So a lot of other people too.
I think it's the first ad every time. Like, it just hits you straight away every time. And there's quite a few ad breaks during this meet.
How many ad breaks were there during when the 1500 meter was run?
Okay, I don't think there was any during the 1500, luckily, but during the 5K, there was at least two. I would say at least two. But so shall we go through it chronologically, starting with the men's 10K, the first final, I believe. First people to get selected for the U.S. Olympic team was the men's runners in the 10K. And this race, this is a race that I only watched like the last part of it. I believe they went out pretty conservatively. Yes.
They went out hard as shit.
I'm wrong.
Conor Mans went straight to the front and ran like a bunch of 62s.
Okay, I'm
and then wrong. They slowed down a lot.
Do you know what their 5K split was?
No. I think he ran like 4:16 for the mile. and then they started running like 67s, then 68s.
Okay.
Then like 69s, 70s.
Yeah, they slowed it well down.
They slowed down. And then there was a bunch of random lead changes. Sam Chalanga went to the front for a bit.
Andrew Colley was up
Andrew
there.
Andrew Colley went back to the front of the trials after leading the marathon trials.
Yeah, it was sick.
A few months ago.
I was impressed.
Who else had a go at the front?
Porcellino made a big move up at one point before, like right before he started to drop off. He made a fat move up to the front.
Porcellino was bouncing around like normal. Yeah. He was getting water early on.
Love it.
Like swinging wide.
Yeah. I think it was a bit warm. I think it was maybe around 70s.
It was freaking hot watching.
Yeah.
I tell you that much. Yeah. It was so hot in the stadium. A little, I guess, especially earlier.
Wait, you were there for it.
I was.
Okay, sorry. I watched
every lap.
Can we take a step back?
Your favorite event, too. It's funny that you flew to Eugene for that.
Yeah, specifically for the 10K.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, George was man on the ground in Eugene.
Was the first night, was how full were the stands?
It was pretty good every night. Sunday was like packed, which was the men's 100. I didn't go on Saturday. Friday seemed pretty full. Like it was busy every day. It was impressive. But like in it always is in Eugene, everyone's just like standing up the whole time. You know, like or in the back. Yeah. It's always just people wandering around, I feel like.
So it doesn't always look as full on the stream.
And it's brutal sitting in the
because
on the back straight.
Half of them are right in the sun.
It's like not even right when you leave the stadium. Every time in Eugene, it's beautiful. Yeah. Exactly how it was at Worlds. Every day, at the end of the program, it was like perfect running conditions and spectating conditions. Because no one wants to sit on the back straight in the sun. There, it's like a million degrees.
Yeah.
So people just stand in the shade until it goes to their seats.
Makes sense.
But
makes sense.
Definitely a four-man race, at least for the team. And then Chalimo looked pretty good for a decent amount of time. But didn't have what it takes to hang with those guys, turns out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Colley leading still with only three laps to go. And then Grant made his move with a K to go and kind of slingshotted around Colley. And Grant got separation from the other two being Nico and Woody. He got separation from them instantly. He opened up a 10-meter gap. And I think
that's like Grant's signature move now.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go with him, but they must have been hurting a little bit.
800 to go or whatever. He just starts running 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dropped it down. I think was his second or last lap? I think it was around a 60 or a 59. And then his last lap, I think, was still only like it was like a 57, 58. But he had such a big lead already. So it didn't really matter. He was able to kind of cruise it in. Woody.
Big last lap.
55 last lap. We all picked him to come third, so we didn't do him. We have to apologize to him.
Yeah.
He really secured that second place. And then, in fact, it was a race for third place with Boulder's very own Drew Hunter. Man, probably maybe the one of the best stories of the race. Drew was racing Nico for that third place. And at some points, it looked like he was going to get him, I thought.
It was incredible.
So Nico did hold him off, secured the... Unfortunately, it wasn't a spot for the Olympics on the line, but...
You wouldn't have known, like, in the stadium, though. It got, like, everyone on the home straight, like, was on their feet. Like, it got so loud the last lap. It was, like, didn't even matter that Drew couldn't make the team. Just, like, the...
Who could just feel the fight?
Yeah, just, like, the drama it added to it. Like, watching Drew run that hard to run with those guys that are, like, all 1250 guys, all 2650 guys.
Yeah.
And he's just like running right with them.
He's found his event.
Apparently, only it was both him and Nico's second 10Ks after sound running.
Wow. So it was awesome. It was awesome. Big credit to Nico. He's only, is he 22?
16.
Yeah, 16. 22, 23, getting on his first 10K team. And Woody had a, I always like hearing Woody talk. He mentioned, we had kind of all heard about this, but we didn't, I don't know if any of us knew like specifics on it, but he'd been dealing with an injury during, I think, like post 10K, so like during the spring. So we knew that was like somewhat questionable, but clearly he's dealt with it very well. Able to come back. Grant going out there, getting it done. His first US 10K title, which is very surprising considering.
That's crazy to think about.
How, fast he's run and how good he's been for the last 3-4 years.
Because Woody and Joe have won the past few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so credit to all them. But yeah, for us, I think seeing Drew come forth was huge. And Ollie and I were talking about like the next day, like his interviews and stuff were just, I don't know if you got to see him, George, but he's like response was just like very heartwarming.
You mm-hmm. wanted to run through a brick wall after listening to it.
Yeah. So
it was, I was like pretty emotional watching it. It was, that's when like you remember how big the Olympic trials are for those guys and like how draining it is even just being there. Like this is how, I forgot we went through that for like 10 days last time. It's just crazy. Like not even having a teammate in it, but the, just like the raw emotion of being in a single race that decides to go into the Olympics or not.
Yeah. And all those people that we've named, like we know all their stories so well. So it's so entertaining to watch, I think, because of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, we all picked Grant to win, but then none of us got correct second or third picks. So,
are we tied then?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have an official point system yet, but I guess based off that, we're tied. I think the next one we'll skip to was then on Sunday, which was the next distance final, the men's steeple. Wait, no. Did I forget the... No, yeah, that was
that was right. Yeah,
sorry. I forgot for a second that the women's... I feel like in my head it's always like, is it normal that the women's and the men's are opposite in terms of like the 10K and 5K being opposite sides? Would it normally go where it's like first night is men's 10K, second night is women's 10K or swapped? I don't remember.
Are you talking about the like US the trials or the Olympics?
Yeah, or both.
I think the trials are the opposite so they can double. So the women's 10K is like...
I think normal USAs, they're like consecutive days.
Oh, okay.
Trials, I think they're opposite.
They change it up? Okay.
Seems like.
Confusing. Well, yeah,
because Saturday was just women's 100 final, mm-hmm. which actually was really sick.
Yeah, so actually, we should give that one a mention. Yeah. Shikari just dominating.
Didn't she like run the heat from staggering and then having a loose shoe?
She had a shoelace untied. Yeah. It was either in the heats or the semis, you're right.
Yeah, she ran 10-8 or something.
Dude, she almost stopped after like a few steps. She like stumbled, like picked herself back up and was just like, it was insane how good she is.
She's very entertaining. Just, I mean, now, especially now, she's so, like, take care of business. Like,
seasoned athlete, yeah.
She's like, just so entertaining, yet so professional. And also, just the fact that she, not that I'm a sprints coach, I would never tell her to change anything, but she doesn't have the best start compared to some of the other women. So she's always, like, a little bit back. But then, like, watching her get into her full stride, top speed is just...
Oh, she's going to do something crazy in the 200.
Who's she coached by?
Well, I don't know if we want to get into that. Cause, so the top three women, which
all
was,
trained together.
They're all trained together by Dennis Mitchell.
Dennis Mitchell.
But he has a very shady past.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I generally didn't know. That's why I was asking. Like,
well.
Because I, you know what my brain went to, which is like just completely incorrect. I thought she was like coached by Bobby Kersey or some shit. Like Bobby Kersey just has all the top American like sprint
it's
athletes.
Just default. You have
Dennis
to go
Mitchell.
To him.
Who's
Florida.
He from?
I think they're also Florida. But not. No, Lyle was Florida.
What's he shady for?
Different
drugs.
Florida.
Oh, but yeah, but like what athletes?
Well, he's been around in the sport for a long time.
Oh.
I'm not an expert on this, but I know that, I don't know, I think that he had, like I think he was a runner maybe in the 90s and maybe his wife. I don't know the full story. Someone in the comments will have to like lay this out or you can find it pretty easily. But like, I don't know if he ever tested positive, but I think he had like high testosterone and there was just all this stuff that came out about like that he was like working with someone that did a lot of people around him, I think maybe including his wife, have tested positive.
Oh, really?
And so it's just like,
okay,
but he's one of those groups that Nike just like funnels athletes to,
right?
Because I think Kenny maybe trains with him as well. Kung Fu Kenny.
Kung Fu Kenny.
I think Nike just
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. And so in the women's 100, I can't remember the other. Was it Melissa Jefferson?
Yeah.
Was she second or third?
And then second.
And then TT.
TT Terry.
Yeah. So that was especially in a sprint. I mean, in any event, having sweeping it with your teammates is pretty fucking sick. But then, yeah, if you look a little deeper, some people are questioning. I mean, as you would if your coach has had like this.
Those accusations.
Damn. Yeah. So.
It was a sick race though.
Yeah, sick race. And like I actually thought about bringing that up for us to talk about. But then I was just like, and this is why I'm not like saying anything with a lot of conviction, is that we just don't know like the facts about it.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't even know who they were coached by. Yeah. But I felt like I would know because of just how big all three of those athletes are in the sprint world. And as well as Kenny. Often the sprinters are like so much bigger than their coaches.
Coaches, yeah.
Yeah.
The distance is different. Distance is kind of like, yeah, like us. We're bigger than Ritz.
No, not like us, I said.
Oh, yeah, true.
Dathan's got us covered.
Dathan is bigger. Does Dathan get pulled over for photos and autographs when he was at Eugene? Men on the ground, George?
Not like he used to when we started.
Mm.
Did that happen last time we were there?
Dude, the first trials he did, yeah, a lot. Which is funny.
I don't think so anymore.
I think Alicia and Joe made the team. And when they were walking around, like, they didn't have their medals on and stuff, but they were just walking around. And people were running up to Ritz to still get photos. And Ritz is like, you know, these guys just made the Olympics.
Yeah.
But also, Ritz sprints into the stadium just in time to watch the race and then books it out immediately after the race. He's not watching anything.
Smart. Very smart.
Honestly, it's probably good to, like, maintain the stress levels and the overall just Ritz. Like, he'd explode if he was just all there all the time running around like a freaking hamster on Red Bulls.
Yeah, no, he's got to keep moving. So yeah, the women's 100 definitely delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very hype. Going to be sweet to see how it plays out because, okay, I hate trying to talk about sprints because I can only talk about it in really like
mundane way.
Just like without like everything I say, I'm second guessing. But from what I've been seeing out of Jamaica, there's a lot of question marks this year with how good their top sprinters are looking.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true across the board for all of the really good ones from Jamaica, but
they've been very quiet, haven't they?
Well, they just had like a few. I think they had one of them's injured. I think one of them didn't open up their seasons to Jamaican champs. See, this is why I don't talk about it. I just see stuff, but I'm not like
the sprint documentary will cover it more. Yeah, don't worry.
Okay. Sorry,
Chris Chavez on the sprint documentary will say
that's coming out soon.
Yeah, he'll cover it and just say like I am a sprint expert. This is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe our next episode might be a review of
really
July 2nd. What's the date? No, maybe two episodes from now we'll review it.
I cannot wait. Because I reckon there'll be a lot of stuff that we'll be just like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? There'll be some cool stuff and then some stuff.
I'm being very honest with you guys right now. I'm probably not going to watch it. I don't think I can get into it.
We'll have to fill you in then. Yeah.
I don't even think I'd watch the distance one. I think I just too much track for me. But
yeah, fair.
I'm too embedded in the nerdiness of knowing everything in track already because I know everything. So
yeah.
Yeah.
There's no more space in that brain.
No more space in that brain, particularly my thick cranium. All right.
Okay, so, seeing as you know everything, take us through Sunday.
What happened Sunday? The steeplechase, men's 3,000 meter steeplechase. Aaron Yeager off the attack of Titan, he's come in. It was pretty sick to see him back racing. And I think we all got the same pick for the champion, didn't we? Did we pick the same champion?
Did I pick
Hillary?
You picked Hillary.
I picked Hillary. Well, Hillary unfortunately had a fall, George said. Is that right, George?
He did have a fall.
Yeah, so which sucks because that happens in steeple. The Kenny Rooks.
Kenneth
Rooks. Oh, he probably doesn't like it when people call him Kenny. It's Kenneth.
Kenneth.
Kenneth Rooks won it. And then the coolest story, though, was second place. What was the nickname? Silky something?
I thought you picked him.
Silky Wilkie.
What did you pick him?
Morg.
Yeah, I picked him.
No, that's good. I thought it was Ollie.
Yeah, I picked him to come third, though.
No, I think I picked Kenneth the second.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was sick. It's always sick to see that kind of storyline like come through.
Taking a step back, it was a very exciting steeple race because it was like really packed up, you know? There was a lot of people in it for at least the first half. And then
they went down 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is extremely slow.
That's going to be really nerve-wracking, huh?
It's hard to hurdle going slow.
real nerve-wracking. Surprisingly, there wasn't more falls because Hillary didn't fall until like the second. Was it the second or the third last?
Yeah, towards the end.
Yeah, but then
we would go out in 250 at Worlds, and that would
that's chilling.
That's slow.
Wow,
3 minutes is a jog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was sick to see Silky Wilkie. I think his name is Matt Wilkinson.
It is.
But we'll call him Silky Wilkie. That sounds awesome. I think with three laps to go, he put in a 63, which was like, when you've been running that slow before, I think that's like a pretty, that feels really quick. So, and he was gapping the field as well. Like he was pushing it. So like him coming second was like so deserved. Like he looked so good at the front. But then on the second to last lap, Kenny said, hold my beer. Well, he said, hold my Diet Pepsi.
Are they allowed to drink Diet Pepsi?
I think isn't it just Pepsi?
I think Pepsi is good. I
think Pepsi is caffeine. They can't drink caffeine.
No, but they own Pepsi though, so it's fine.
Oh, so if they own it, it's fine.
I think that's the thing.
But if they own Coors Light, does that mean they can drink beer?
Probably. Just Coors though. No, you can't drink beer. You can just drink Coors.
You just drink Coors.
So I think that's the case with Pepsi. Right. He said, hold my Diet Pepsi. And then
we should try and find out what his like swig order is.
Yeah.
That's what you get in Utah instead of... You mix things into your sodas.
Wait, really?
Instead of getting coffee,
what it's do like we mix in? Soda shop,
like syrups and cream and shit.
That's how they spice it up.
Yeah.
Like some little mango puree or something.
Yeah, sounds like exactly.
sounds awesome. It sounds like a fun date idea.
Yeah, you get like Diet Pepsi, mango puree, and
have you done this, George?
No, I have not.
Oh, that sounds pretty good, huh?
It's just easier if you just buy it from 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Just take out the middleman.
Yeah, take out the middleman. It's too much effort to, you know, get diabetes. Continue.
Yeah. But yeah, Kenny went around 59, I think, second last lap. So he just like cooking and just went past. And then I don't know what his last lap was, but I assume it was the same or faster. So those first two had really separated themselves. And then it was a big race for the third place. Like it was like the whole pack. It was a big pack of people that all were like, I want that third place. Like they're all just lining up. And then... James Corrigan from, where's James? I don't know. Yeah. James Corrigan from BYU. He had a freaking massive kick, like starting with 250 to go. He had so much momentum coming off the water jump and just.
There were a bunch of, all the WCAP guys were like, I think they were like 3, 4, 5 for a bit. Rotich, Keita, and Bohr were all like looking like it was going to come down to them.
Then they went backwards.
And then they went backwards big time in the last 150.
Yeah. And it wasn't on screen, but Aaron Yeager must have had a fat kick as well.
So Duncan Hamilton almost made the team. He was in like last place with like a lap to go.
Sheesh. I didn't.
So him and Corrigan and Evan.
I actually need to get this up because I did see it.
Blew through some people at the end.
Yeah.
But Bauman said something on the on their Instagram that was like pretty much saying that Evans made the team, which is incorrect, right?
Technically incorrect. Because,
if everything, they probably said something like, as it stands.
I think that's what it was. I think they said that, as it stands.
That is correct.
Evans made the team.
That is correct, which is insane.
Yeah, a lot of those guys fighting for that third spot were qualified on rankings, and even some of them had the standard. But James Corrigan was not one of those. So, as we already mentioned, he's going to go chase the standard this upcoming weekend. I imagine Kenneth is going to pace
be pacing him.
He must be pacing him, which, I mean, you don't normally get pacing like that in a steeplechase. So,
what's crazy, Rooks, he hasn't even run the standard before.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what the hell? It was just Bohr and Rotich, right?
Yeah, so.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible, but it's very fast.
They said Jager is currently in line to represent Team USA.
Yeah.
I guess that's valid.
He is.
But then the comments are great.
What are they saying?
They're saying... Nah, Corrigan def deserves it.
I mean, the way he raced, and his story as well. I don't know if you guys, he was so funny, his interview, where he was, I guess he only just started steepling, or maybe he steeples and also does a lot of other events. I think he didn't race a ton in indoors. I think he was sick and injured, but I believe he ran like 13:30 for the 5K indoors. So he's very legit. I think he was BYU's top runner at NCAA Cross, which they didn't have... like the strongest team this year because I think he came 32nd. So, I mean, he's a legit across the board, but he was talking about like his progression in the steeple, and it was pretty funny to see because it was almost like yours last year, George, where it was like, I started off running like 8:51 and then around like 8:40 and then like just, I mean, the prelims Wait, was it the prelims? I think the prelims, either NCAAs or the prelims, was like his PB, you know? Like he's just
been prelims, 820 yeah. something. But yeah. what would have helped him is if he ran good at, I don't know what happened in NCAAs, but he was like ninth.
Was he? He wasn't even up there.
And so like didn't get any points or anything that, not that he was probably thinking about qualifying for the Olympics at NCAAs.
Yeah.
But
tough.
Crazy turnaround in those couple of weeks.
Well, wish him best of luck at the penis, what was it? The penis sunshine race?
Exactly. That's what it was.
In Philly?
Sick. Benjamin Franklin.
The Benjamin Franklin hosted by Jakob's new daughter.
Yeah.
She's firing the gun.
Hell yeah. I mean, talk about a race with a lot on the line. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but I feel like...
I guess actually...
If he's drinking a lot of Diet Coke, it'd be fine. I mean, Diet Pepsi, sorry. Diet Pepsi, he'd be fine. Yeah. Yeah, just get hyped. Just take the hurdle by the horns, as they say, as George says at every practice he hurdles.
Klecker was saying...
that's what he says.
I don't know. I don't think you... I guess you can't do that. But he was saying like it'd be cool if the track trials were like the marathon trials.
Yeah.
Where if people are qualified, they open up the spots, not necessarily for yourself. They just open them up for the US.
I mean, I guess it'd get confusing because then there's still people that need to qualify on ranking. I guess that's how it happens in the marathon as well.
Mm.
Why could that... Who knows? Why could that... what's stopping that from happening, I guess? What is it?
Joe just sent something to the group chat.
Yeah, but...
Is it worth mentioning? No?
We can mention it later. But I just wanted to see what George's reaction was because it's running related. I honestly think... The one thing... When you race something at the USA's, it's crazy to like, when you look at the results, they all have the standards. Like they had all your standards. And then seeing the steeple and there's like the first eight people don't have the standard. Yeah. It's fucking it's crazy. It's crazy how hard the steeple standard is compared to like the others.
It must be not as hard as the 10K.
The 10K, yeah, the 10K is actually, well, the thing is they had three guys that had the standard.
I guess that's more than the steeple, actually.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But like if Drew beats Nico,
that would be so
I feel
cool.
Like he's good enough to go.
Yeah.
So you would literally tell Mike Smith in the face, say Nico's not good enough, Drew's going, if he got third.
That's not what I said.
You said he deserved to go. He earned it. So you got to go to Mike Smith.
You have to tell him. You have to be the one to tell him.
And you have to be the one to tell him, Nico, you got fourth, you're not going. No chopboard carry water next week or something.
If he got fourth, yeah.
Yeah. You'd say that to Mike Smith's face. Oh, dude, I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying if... Drew Hunter got third. You said that he earned it, right? He deserved to go.
Yes.
So then you're saying that you would have to go to...
Why is George the one that has to deliver the news? I think Mike probably watched the race, no?
Yeah, but I think Mike would be the one pushing for Nico to go. And then George is like a sense of reason.
We're saying if there's like an actual rule change, not if we just convince them to let it happen on the spot.
Yeah.
We just convince Nico to give it up and then they just... Let Drew do it.
Yeah.
Just because we think he should.
Just because George said so.
I think.
No, but I don't see what's stopping them from doing that because they just decided to do it for the marathon for some reason.
Yeah, like,
how's it any different, really?
Yeah.
I guess there's less opportunities in the marathon.
And the triathlon actually is like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's been the big draw in the triathlon.
Bring it to track.
You're similar. You qualify like spots for your country, not just your own spots. So then anyone can have those spots.
Yeah, it's got to really hurt when someone else takes like the spot that you weren't.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's got to really suck.
That's what happened in triathlon. It was really fucked up.
Did it happen for New Zealand?
No, for the US.
Oh, really? Fuck.
To a good friend of ours.
Wait, to that. Who was it?
Matt Mack.
That happened to Matt Mack?
It did.
Damn.
We love you, Matt.
Wait, so did only...
Shout out to Matt Mack.
Only two of them qualified... Like yeah. Earned qualification spots.
Morgan earned the auto. Yeah. Then there was one more spot.
Oh, that sucks.
Dude, shout out to Matt Mack's son.
Good system, though.
Is it Mac-Mac?
Mac-Mac.
Yeah. That's freaking sweet, legend. Man.
Wait, what?
He named his son Mac.
And his name's Matt Mack. So his son is... He's Matt Mack and Mac-Mac.
Wait, what is Mac short for? Macklemore?
No, it's Macklemore, wait, yeah. McDonald's. Come on, McDonald's.
Got thrift shopping.
We got distracted here.
Yeah. We did.
Steeple. Joey Bags, local Boulder man. Seventh,
yeah.
Good result.
Pretty sweet.
I mean,
good result. Happy for him.
He's people's champ.
Mm-hmm. I saw when he went to the front at one point in the race, I was like, the Tinman way. Yeah. It lives. It's alive. It was so cool. Seeing him leading the...
You knew that was getting on the Instagram.
leading the final. So I was so happy to see him do well. I hope he's happy with that.
I hope so too, yeah.
It's a good effort. It's a very good effort. So
just that last K was the big separator. Like those guys closed in like 230s up front, like low 230s. And then if you closed in 240, you were in that second group basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
233 over hurdles from Kenneth is crazy. That's very fast.
He's always had a very good
close. Do you reckon you could do that, George?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Good. Confident. We like it. We like it. That's what he's going to have to do to win those medals.
Yeah, know? True. I mean, you probably have to run 220.
220? That's what Bacali is running.
I heard Baklava's been doing 220 Ks over hurdles.
And I heard he made the hurdles bigger as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're just all water pits. They're just all water pits. And he's been doing K water pits at 220 in Claremont, Florida. So
where?
Claremont, Florida.
That's how you would get really good at the water pit is only... You just have five.
That or
jumps.
You fracture your fucking ankle.
Just get injured.
Just fucking instantly. Destroy your ankles.
Instantly.
Classic.
Yeah. Well, that was the men's steeple, and then so sick Sunday, and then well, actually, we got to talk about another men's 100, then, right?
Yeah.
We
should
followed up by the men's one.
I honestly was disappointed that Snoop Dogg didn't run the 100.
We didn't even mention him in regards to the steeple.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
he was commentating for a couple of laps. So one
that was so sick.
He didn't even know what was... He's like... He was so funny because he obviously didn't know what was happening. He's like, I don't know. I'm going to do my impression. He's like, oh, that guy put his foot on the hurdle. I didn't know you could do it like that. It's like, so sick.
Well, didn't he... He did a Kevin Hart special with the Olympics when they...
That's why he's back.
Yeah. I feel like him... And then Les... Is it Les? Oh, I think her name's Les. She's a comedian. She like went viral for watching the steeple and like...
Oh, so yeah.
She's like one of the official commentators as well for the Olympics.
Is that like during Eugene maybe or something?
Yeah, it was during the Eugene trials for the Tokyo, and she was like just going, what the fuck? They're going over hurdles? What type of horse racing shit is this?
Yeah.
The
Snoop NBC.
Yeah, the Snoop, that's a good partnership. I'm happy with
you're
that.
You're on a 34-second 200.
That's actually not, that's not like bad. That's
he's
pretty,
old.
That's pretty impressive for
52?
His age.
52?
Yeah.
Running 34 seconds for 200 at 52 years of age.
I thought he was like 62. He looks old, dude.
I don't know if he was like spiked up and stuff. I don't
know. No, he was just running regular joggers.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive, man.
Awesome. Love to see
he's
it.
He's also a giant.
Yeah, tall.
He's big.
He's so tall.
He's probably about the same proportions as Mason Furlick.
I'd say that, yeah.
Maybe even taller. I don't know.
You should do the steeple then.
I picked Big Bird actually for the team. That was not a
was
great
Big Bird
pair.
In it?
No, he had to pull out.
Oh, torn hamstring.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, Noah Lyles. I tell you what, the top three was Noah Lyles, Kenny, Kung Fu Kenny, and my boy, Fred Curley. Like the dopest kit, I reckon, at the trials was the Oakley kit. Obviously, ours is pretty dope. Ours is the dopest. But next to the dopest was the Oakley kit because that was sick seeing him wear that. Noah Lyles doing Noah Lyles things, pulling out...
Lots of Yu-Gi-Oh! Related
pulling out Yu-Gi-Oh!
Things.
Cards and wearing different colored... speed suits. How do you guys feel about that? Because he did comment about how he said he's being himself authentically and he's doing it while winning. So like he doesn't care what people say. But it does feel like it's a bit forced, in my opinion.
I feel like the briefcase reveal was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, that was just...
The five pieces of Exodia didn't do it for you?
Was it all five?
No.
Yeah, I thought it was. Wasn't it? Am I wrong?
No, I think he pulled out a Blue Eyes White Dragon.
No, in the briefcase.
In the briefcase.
No, well, it's pretty funny. Every round he had a card at the line, and I'm pretty sure I didn't watch the semis, but I'm pretty sure in the semis, I don't know which one he had because I think he had Blue Eyes White Dragon in the heats. He had one in the semis, and then he would just tuck it into his speed suit, and I think it fell out like on the start line, and everyone had to like stand up. Like everyone had to stand up because his Yu-Gi-Oh card fell out.
That should be
a DQ.
You'd be pissed, right? Funny. You'd be pissed like as a competitor. It's like this guy's just like
pick up your freaking Yu-Gi-Oh card. Go, yeah, I would be.
Also, with the Yu-Gi-Oh, you put it in your deck, mate. You don't put it in your top.
Seriously,
real fans, sweaty.
He should have been racing with
the fucking
the thing that goes
thing.
On your wrist.
Yeah,
he should have been racing with one of those. I mean, he's not naturally someone that gets me hyped. I imagine. I get it. I get it.
No, I like that athletes are getting this space to promote stuff like that, but it just, for me, it feels a little forced. Just a little bit. I like the Snoop Dogg stuff. I like the briefcase stuff. I like the outfits and stuff. I like that stuff. It just seems that if I was a competitor against him and like you said, Morgan, the card fell out and we had to stand up, I'd be pretty pissed at that point. I'd be like, dude, like, just like leave it on the ground and pick it up later. Like,
yeah, that's gonna be funny on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm gonna love to see that.
Yeah, hopefully we get, you know, maybe they get a clip of
you
this.
Can
they're definitely there.
Yeah,
right at the start line.
Did you see them running around with their cameras controlling everything?
Mm-hmm. They were giving everyone the script beforehand,
yeah,
so that everyone knew like what place they were supposed to
be. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. They do that for that's for all races.
Yeah,
we've already got our Olympics stuff, which is.
It's like WWE.
Yeah, it's great for me though, because I get tripped twice, so I go straight to the final and come dead last.
Perfect.
Yeah, so it works out well.
Just how you want it.
I shouldn't say that, but
you can only get away with these shenanigans, I think, if you're winning.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, imagine if Lyles got beaten. I think it would be.
Everyone would be rubbing it in his face, probably.
It was kind of close, actually.
Yeah. I mean, they ran quick.
Kenny's awesome.
Yeah,
I like him.
He's no nonsense.
Yeah. He's a YouTuber. He puts out actually quite a lot of content out there. Yeah.
He does.
I don't like watch his content, but he's
it's there.
Takes if you're into it. Noah Lyles posted a video on YouTube the day after I think he won. It was like, this is the one thing that helped me win the. This is the one thing I changed to win the 100 meters at the U.S. Olympic Trials, and it was like my start. It was like a video of him doing a start. So it was like, I don't know, a video on his start, I guess.
It wasn't the Yu-Gi-Oh cards? Yeah, what the fuck is the point of bringing the Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Yeah,
the one thing I changed
was my start, not carrying a blue-eyes white dragon, then let it fall out of my bodysuit, and then having to make everyone stand up.
Yeah.
Dude, Clicker made us wait at the stadium for like an hour after the race to try and see Fred.
Dude, I know. I would have been with Joe
and we didn't. We never saw him.
I freaking love Fred.
Because he wanted them to do like, you know, like they do the victory lap. And but like the stadium was emptying. I was like, dude, there's no way they're coming like all the way down here. Like, there's no one here.
Fred was already doing his photo shoot for Skims.
Yeah, that's pretty sick, actually. Yeah. But then Lyles came around, so I had to high-five him. Cause
you high-five Lyles?
Would it look weird if I
He's like, hey, George, how you doing? And then high-fived you. Is that how it
tripped him or something.
You tripped him?
And then Kenny did come by as well, actually. Kenny was signing some stuff.
Did you high-five Kenny?
So it was just Fred that didn't come by.
And then, so I high-fived Kenny. And I was like,
who had the best high five, like, Kenny or?
I wanted to tell him, like, I just make sure you beat him next time. Or something. I didn't. And then we're still waiting because Fred's like still just fucking around down the other end. And so we moved to the back straight and Fred like starts to come around, like takes a photo with a couple people. And then I think like they close the stadium and Fred walks back off. So
devastation.
We waited forever and Joe didn't get his Fred pick.
It would have been like, Fred.
I would have been the same. I would have been like that. Fred. Who had a better high five, Noah or Kenny?
Neither.
Oh, really?
Nothing special.
That's a shame.
Damn.
Oh, well, it's cool you got a high five though. That's pretty sweet.
You touched
life-changing
greatness.
You touched greatness. That's going to help you for the Olympics.
Yeah. And we would be very remiss to not mention the big upset was Christian Coleman.
Who
I think a lot of people probably thought he would be competing to win that Olympic trials and didn't even make the team.
I mean, fourth.
Didn't even make the team.
That's a tough.
He will still be on the relay.
He'll be the relay team for sure. Yeah,
true. But Fred coming through for third was clutch because he has not been looking as good as of recent. Yeah. And I saw someone tweeted him because, as I think everyone knows, he tweeted not that long ago, next time I touch the track, 100 meter world record. And someone's like tweeted at him. He's like, what's going on, Fred? He's like, I didn't touch the track. I don't know what he's, I don't know what he's talking about.
What?
He's like, bro thinks he's flying. But he claims that he hasn't touched the track yet.
I love the way he works on Twitter, man. It's unreal. It's so good.
It was a quite an extreme financial decision to give up his couple of millies from ASICS.
I mean, now he's getting paid by Kim Kardashian, so she's got money, I hear.
Yeah, that's a great partnership.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Now that I think about it, his contract was probably, would have been up off this year, I bet. So he's probably only given up. He's only probably.
Might have only been 2 years, right?
Given up like.
Couple mil.
Like 500K, like not much, you know? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Not for him.
Yeah.
Big dog.
Particularly with all the land he has already. He doesn't need to worry about it.
Yeah, business is booming for him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So, yeah, I guess that was Sunday night. Done and dusted. Yep. On to the big distance day, the big OAC distance day, finals day Monday, where all the drama was going to unfold, starting off with the men's 1500. And so our picks for this, George was correct in the top two. Ollie and I both picked Yared, but I know that as we approached it, like just in our private conversations, because everyone knew, I was actually surprised that Yared said this when we were talking about this. Like Yared told everyone that he was going to go and make it fast.
Yeah.
I was surprised he publicly said that.
I'm,
even though everyone probably knew it, I was surprised he said that.
Do you reckon he said that just to double down? Like it's just like a double down thing. It's like, you know it's going to be fast, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, he's confident.
He ran confidence. Fucking fast. I mean, as we know from the results, it was some pretty incredible.
But he also didn't run as fast as maybe you would think in terms of like he ended fast, but it's not like he went out in...
No, they didn't went out in 59.
Like he didn't go out in...
He went out in 56.
First stop was 56?
Mm-hmm. Sure? What'd they go through 800 in?
Well, he went through 1200. 155, it would have been a 59 second lap. Maybe that's what I was looking at.
I guess
at.
That's
my
pretty
bad.
Quick, actually.
155 is...
You really got that much quicker.
That's like standard pace, 333 pace, and then they closed the fuck out of it.
Yeah, okay. I take it back. That's pretty quick. But, yeah, I was surprised that he said it, but I think then the more that we like, thought about it, like, from a pure analytical standpoint, emotionally, we wanted him to just run away, crush everyone. We were just, like, analytically just like, how is... Like, that's perfect for Cole. Also perfect for Hobbs, but mostly perfect for Cole. Cole's in the shape of his life. He's run so fast across all these events. If he has someone pacing him at a quick sub 3:35 pace,
well,
we know he has a kick.
He didn't take the lead till 200 to go, right? He was never in the front, never vulnerable. He just waited, and then
went.
And
Hobbs had perfect positioning throughout. Like they were right, like, behind him, along with, I think, Vincent Chiatti was the one behind him.
Mm. Amazing race, shout out to him. Like, incredible race.
Did so well.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if Yared will ever run the trials differently.
Why would he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if he ran it like that last year, ran it like this year. He's just going to do that every single year.
Well, that's the thing, because if you just look at it,
you get pretty
simple.
Predictable.
But how else can he, what's the most likely way for him to come top three, you know?
And also, like, if you look at athletes like Jakob runs very predictable, but wins most of the races he's in. It's just like if you're the better runner on the day.
The championship races, though.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
You know?
But the thing is, I think when you go into the Olympics, right, a lot of eyes are going to be on Yared and Cole in particular, but mostly on Jakob and Josh, and that's going to be good for Yared because he's not going to feel like pressured to lead or pressured to be in a position to take it out because you know those guys are going to make it quick anyway. So I think... Obviously, like, we wanted to make the team. He made the team. Happy for him. It sucks to lose, but he still raced Cole. It was still a race. Like, it's not like Cole destroyed him. It was still a really good race, and Cole deserved to win. And I was very excited to see Hobbs as well after having, you know, pre for him obviously wasn't ideal. And that's definitely a setback mentally, and he just switched it back on. And to make that team in the 1500 for US is no easy feat. So
I'm very happy Hobbs made it.
Yeah, so I'm happy for Hobbs. Cooper Tier didn't run great, right? Well, 3:35 is still quick, but he just didn't run as well as, because I think, did I put him as third?
No, I did.
Oh,
George did.
I did was because he was one of the only other people that had proven that he could run 3:32.
Yeah,
and I thought it would take running 3:32 to make the team.
And then you had all these guys running 3:31, 3:32. Yeah. And they were in like I think top 8 or top 9 ran under 3:33, right?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
I think focusing on Cooper for a second, after watching the semi-final, it was a bit like, all right, so this is like how you can see he's a 5K guy racing against 1,500-meter guys, because he was definitely going all out, and like they were just, all these other guys were able to just like pull away from him so easily. I mean, yeah, it is different when it's a quick race, and that should make it more in his favor. But a lot of other guys really showed up, and I think, I don't know how many guys PB'd, maybe like 7 guys or something crazy.
Yeah,
like
crazy.
That
in a final, lot. A championship final. That's very rare.
Yeah, I mean, these guys all have run fast before as well.
They also ran rounds before that weren't slow.
Yeah.
So
I think Cole gets some props. All his PRs are from Tokyo, Budapest, and the trials.
What a baller. That's like pretty cool.
All just championship finals.
Yeah.
He has had a lot of setback with injury, though.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see him healthy and
putting it together. Running 3:30 and with a 52 last lap. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how those performances from those guys then translate onto racing at the Olympics on the world scene. But they all look ready to go. They look very ready to go.
If the US is confident in getting a medal in 1500, they should be, because right now their guys are looking like they can medal. So.
Yeah. And yeah, some great PBs behind them. I think already mentioned Vincent Chiati, who yeah. I think that's
Chibata,
3 second PB, I believe, was behind him. Nathan Green out of Washington, 3:32, big PB for him. So pretty sick to see.
He ain't green no more, eh?
So that's not a non-NCAA record, though.
Ah, dude, how do you?
Because it has to be.
He was wearing Washington kit.
Yeah, maybe it's a school record.
It depends how you. I think there's like five different like record lists depending on when you stop counting it.
It's like in season, out of season.
Yeah,
it's freaking fast either way.
Yeah, super shoe, non super shoe.
It's amazing, but yeah, I think in summation, I did out there, went out there, did what he had to do, and being able to say that you like essentially soloed a 3:30 is never something that's ever gonna not be a freaking flex.
Yeah, and the interesting
and
thing
an
is
amazing performance
as well, as if you look at that, everyone's last 400, like the whole field, most guys closed in like under 54 53 52. Like those guys have they were ready for that, like they've trained and were ready for that. It was pretty impressive. Yeah. It just shows you the level to be a US champion in that 1500. You have to be running something that will win you gold medals at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So
we just put that clip next to the clip of Ollie like 2 years ago. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, roast.
Give Ollie the credit.
Hey, no, I should get the credit for that. Give man. I talked fair game there. They were not up to standard, and now they are, because they're fucking running like it.
Yeah.
They're running hard, they're running fast, and they're fucking racing. I take credit for that. Not Matt Centuwitz. Not Matt Centuwitz, who
not Yard, the one out there doing it.
Yeah. No, not none of those guys. It's me. Yeah, it was me, Barry.
100%.
Yeah.
So after that came the women's 5K, where we actually all had the same picks. I didn't remember us all picking the same.
I just copied George because George seemed pretty confident with it.
So ESP, Cranny, and then we all picked Josette to come third. And Josette, honestly, she went out there. I think if you follow her, you'll know that she's had injury struggles since indoors. And from our side of the fence, it's been definitely a grind, but very impressive to see her come back and get herself physically in a good spot and mentally in a really good spot to go out there and compete. And that's what she tried to do. I mean, not actually, she didn't try to do it. That's what she went out there and did. And she definitely gave it everything. So I think we all got to give her credit for that. She just unfortunately had the injury, which, you know, takes at the Olympic trials, you can't fake it, especially when you're racing against such amazing other competitors. So she ended up falling off a little bit, which was unfortunate, but that's definitely just the way it goes in the sport when you face injuries and stuff. But it was an amazing race, especially at the front, because it was this is what everyone had been talking about. Parker Valby, like, how's it going to go when she tries to do it against non-collegiates, against the pros? And she's been just crushing these college races all year. And then in this race, you have Parker. She wasn't talking during the race. She wasn't waving.
Yeah.
She was locked in at a fast pace, clicking off, I think, just under 3 minute Ks.
71s is her like sweet spot.
But then she looked good, but then there was a line of women behind her that looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And you just knew.
The three people behind her just looked, but she dropped a lot more people than I thought she would.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be a bigger group, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she ended up finishing.
Fourth.
And
got the Olympic standard. So she's actually in a very good spot to make the team, because I think ESP has already said that if she makes the 1500, she's unlikely to double.
Wait, really? I didn't actually know that.
I think she's already said that.
Oh, shit. So Parker might go to the Olympics. I didn't even realize that.
Decent chance.
Yeah.
I think like...
She'll do the same thing in the Olympics too. Yeah. Let's go to the front, run some...
Yeah.
If she can get to the front.
Yeah. Not confirmed, but that's what has been said so far. So massive credit to her. I think we were surprised that she hasn't signed with a pro brand yet.
Yeah, it was interesting because I thought this was like, okay, Nike kit's coming out. That's what I was guessing. Just from like her NIL deal being with Nike, you'd expect her to maybe be with them, but yeah, nothing.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe by the 10 by the 10K, she'll have something. But yeah, I think it was the woman behind her was a line of Ellie Saint Pierre, Cranberry. And then Carisha Schwarzer. I can't remember what our
Schweppes.
Name is. Schweppes, is that what our name is?
For? I don't know. I just made it up.
And yeah, they all looked really, really good. Like, it was actually awesome. It actually made me quite happy to see them all look so good running that pace because, I mean, ESP's been crushing it, but we've been seeing Elise down at the track, and she's gone through two coaching changes in the last 6 months, and Carissa is coming off, I think, a pretty decent surgery. I know she was pretty banged up, I think, by the end of last year.
Apparently, Ty Dinger was saying, who trains with Elise, that she had a stress reaction.
Really?
Yeah.
In the last, like, month or so, apparently.
Apparently, last month, which is crazy because, I mean, Josette also had that and was out for 6 to 8 weeks, but must have been much more minor than Josette's.
Yeah. I mean, that is a reality stress reaction in terms of what that actually means for how much time
you don't know exactly what it means, but
can change a lot.
She wasn't at the track, I remember, for a while. She was a bit absent for a bit, I think.
Interesting.
But, yeah,
it was good thing her dad owns a physio chain in the area that definitely has an Ultra G, so she had the resources there.
She wasn't going up to flag.
It was actually closer than I thought. I thought ESP was gonna
dominate. I thought in that last 100, I was like, Elise has got this.
Really?
I really thought it. And then it was one of those ones where they were kicking. They had given it everything, like, in the last, like, 150. But by the time they got to 5 meters left, they were both just gassed. They were both just like, let's just get to the line. Like, it's actually crazy when they showed the front on camera how much ESP, like, drifted over towards Elise. Like, not in a bad way. I think it was just like they were just
tired.
They were just so tired, and it was 0.02.
I can't believe ESP celebrated.
I think that's her dive.
Is it? She does do that a lot.
Yeah, I think she throws the hands up, boom, and I think that's how she gets her chest forwards. Mm. Boom.
I honestly think it almost came down to, like, ESP is naturally runs with a forward lean, and Elise is a little more upright, and I feel like
the legs are in the same place.
But yeah, that was the 0.02. Elise just needed to work on her lean.
But it was such an entertaining race. Like, that finish was amazing. Those last couple laps when they really started dropping it down, and Carissa came through not that far behind for third. So freaking awesome! And all those women are doubling, so we're gonna get to see them all again. Actually, I don't know if Elise is. I'm sure actually she will probably line up in the 15 because she loves racing the 15. Mm. But they're all coming back to race again, so it's gonna be pretty sweet to see.
Mm.
And then, oops,
the final race. One.
Final race, the most. Man, saved the worst for last today, didn't we?
We really did.
The women's 800, absolute carnage. I mean, just I was watching this with Avery at my place, and we just after the race, we just felt empty, didn't know what to say. The commentators on TV didn't know what to say. I just went onto my phone, I looked up depressing music, and I just started playing. I just, like, hit play. Had some Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD came on.
I was gonna say it's not not Guts. The Guts
Berserk Guts theme. No, it was like, when you talk about drama,
that's drama.
That's drama. That's track and field. You realize that the lows are way more impactful than the highs. I mean, not always. There are some highs which can be extremely, extremely impactful. But I guess for us, being teammates with Sage, etc., and having the reigning Olympic champion in the race, this low made me feel way more than anything else. Viewing wise, like, made me feel in those first few days. Like, I have to say, it was just so crazy. I know everyone has seen it, but just for those that haven't, that living under a rock, 200 meters into the race. So they all went out fast. Like, it wasn't slow, but it was a massive pack because they were just all that good. I think Mo was in the middle of the pack, and she made a little move to the left, and then boom, she went down. I think she got clipped from behind. And then, unfortunately, Sage was at the back of the pack, and then so she had to skirt around her and just, like, lost all momentum and was instantly, like, 10 meters back. And unfortunately, like, that was their race done because it wasn't a jog fest from that point. They went through 400 and I think 57. And then it was about just who could hang on. And yeah, you can't, there's nothing you can really do about it. Like, at that point when you've just lost all your momentum. So Sage rallied really well. She ended up coming fifth, which is
It's pretty good. Unreal. She caught like half the field.
Unreal. Running too flat, but it's just so hard to watch because, I mean, credit to the top. I mean, that's our sport. That's racing. So not taking anything away from the top three. Nia looked amazing, and I mean, it's a very like, I mean, her story. I mean, she failed the Olympic trials 3 years ago, so she knows better than anyone else like how brutal it can be. Second place was Ali Wilson coming through. Was she second?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then third was on NIL, Juliet Whitaker.
Yep.
Stanford. I think she's only like a sophomore or something.
Yeah.
She's young. So massive credit to them. Like, but it was just you could just see the elation and then the absolute sadness. And I just felt it was just hard because I had no doubt just watching Sage like in her last few races that I just had no doubt that she would have been like running, racing for the win against Nia. Like I just, like we just know like that's like the level that she's at. And then, you know, shit happens, bad luck, completely out of your control.
It's gone. I rewatched it before, on the pod, and I realized that I think Athing is so used to being so far ahead of everyone and her legs are so long that when you make a move like that with that many people, it can be dangerous, very dangerous. So it's tough to like watch that happen. Because if you think about it, like, yeah, the Olympic champ isn't going to defend their title, which pretty shit. And then obviously, you were saying, Morgan, that she like if she should just run through it.
Sage.
Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah. Sage. Say, like, I mean.
Like, not going around, just run through it, and they might have been able to keep some sort of momentum. She should
have just steepled.
Mm. Yeah.
She should have got her steeple training back out and just gone through it. But it's like, you can't, I mean, it's pure instinct. It's like, yeah, you can't really, it's not a decision.
In hindsight, you line up a perfect hurdle form over a thing, but.
Yeah, she was just trying to, like, not step on her. But, yeah, so that was just brutal for, I mean, I think, obviously.
There's one thing not making the team.
And Sage.
Not making the team is fine, but not getting the opportunity to even, like, find out if you are good enough to make the team is different.
Yeah.
Like, that sucks to watch.
If not your fault.
Yeah.
Really sucks.
You just want to, like, see.
It's not like Sage had a, like, Sage was like, oh, I went out there and I died and I got fifth or whatever, you know? It was like, it's tough. It's very tough. It's, the sport's not fair, but again, definitely don't take away from the top three that got their spots to Paris. They're going to be pretty amazing. The one thing I am going to say though, and it might be a bit distasteful, but I know that there's a British girl that's probably licking her lips right now that I think is not going to be racing. Or even, and the lady in Kenya as well. Because the thing is, such a force, when you don't have someone like that, you're thinking, shit, this might be my, you know, my time.
I mean, I think both those women would feel so confident they could beat her, though.
That is true. You want to beat your competitors, but I reckon they would be mixed emotions. I think they'd be like, shit.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if, like, I don't know, Kerr, like, I don't know, well, he's already qualified, but if something happened to Kerr, right, and he's out, or something happened to Yakum and he's out, like, there is that thing that, not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. There is that thing in the back of your head is like, oh crap, there's one less guy that is going to take away from a medal.
I mean, it's true. It is true. I think if you ask anyone, they want to beat everyone. You know, they don't want anyone's opportunity to be taken away from them from a fall or something like that. They want to beat them fair and square, you know? But a lot of this sport does come down to like survival.
Honestly, yes.
Like both from like a falling over, but also just like injuries and stuff, you know, like a lot of it's about surviving and just being on the start line.
That's the old saying. I was thinking about it when I had that realization about a thing. Cause like really she's like and Sage too, like they're athletes that like you hate it in the pit of your stomach that they haven't reached their potential yet. Like you always hate seeing athletes that haven't like gotten to that point where you're thinking like, this is what I thought Athing would get to, or this is what I thought Sage would get to. But that's the old saying, was like, if you get to the line healthy and ready, then most of the battle's done. It's just getting there.
Yeah.
It's freaking tough.
At least Athing already has a gold medal in her closet. Sage.
You reckon it's in the closet?
on her dresser. I think it's hanging up right there. Sage is still looking for that opportunity, and it feels really brutal. But she does have the 1500,
mm-hmm.
which is not an easy battle in any way. The women, as you guys all know, the US 1500 women's is one of the better events. So it's going to be a crazy few races, but I think Sage is very fit, so I wouldn't put any limitations on her.
No. You know? No. She said, I think she said to Joe, or Joe said to her, it's like, I can make the 15 team. I can do it, you know? Might as well believe that and go into it and give it the best shot you can, so.
100%.
And it's going to be the premier event to watch in this later half of the trials.
A little redemption story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes out and wins it and runs 3:52.
Yeah, I mean, she does need the stand as well, so she's got to get after it. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. So, that's the first half done. We didn't do any, we didn't add up any points in the end, but.
We must be almost tied.
Seems pretty even.
I think might be last.
The system is a hard system to like accurately pick like 1, 2, and 3, you know?
Well, actually, I'm the only one that picked all winners, so I'm probably winning. I picked all the winners the first half.
Well done.
Hmm.
Except, wait.
Right, wait,
no, didn't you pick...
What about the 800?
Did you pick Nia to win?
Yeah.
Oh, you did pick Nia.
Did you? I think we all picked Nia.
Did we?
Didn't... I think we did.
I thought I picked that thing.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or say, I think maybe a Sage I picked to win. I don't know. I can't.
Well, it seems like... George, you picked the thing.
What?
And Ollie and I picked Sage.
Fuck. All right, yeah. I lied. Yeah. I thought I picked, Nia, I think Sage. Damn it. All right. I take it back.
I mean, you are still doing very well.
Take it back.
I mean, it is a very, very cutthroat competition, boys. So
yeah.
All right. Part two next week.
Part two next week. I don't think we're probably going to... Dude, that one, like, is there any point previewing? No, just go watch him. Just go watch him, and then we'll have a big debrief next week. We'll catch up.
Yeah.
See who sneaks off to Eugene this week. Eugene was great, by the way. Had a great time. It was one of the better Eugene trips.
Is that because Ollie and I weren't there? What are you trying to say?
No, it's because he didn't have to race. That's why. Because
you didn't have to race midway through. He'd after have to sleeping race, on
and he was just getting treatment and having coffees with Jason.
That actually sounds like an awesome time. Okay, now
weather
I get
was
it.
Beautiful.
Now I get it.
Could work out in sea level in South Eugene.
How was running on the wood chips?
Oof. Pre's terrible.
It's soft.
The other one, pretty good.
What do they call it? Rex?
Rex, yes, or something.
Rex Center.
Inspector Rex.
The Rex Center.
That one, actually quite nice. Pre's trail, terrible.
The Amazon Prime trail.
Good to know.
Just
doing laps.
Also in the news, Mark Wetmore and Heather are stepping down from Colorado coaching, so I'm going to take the role. I'm going to go for the job.
Should we all apply for it and see how
it is? And Donovan.
And Donovan Brazier is going to rejoin the team. He still has
3 years of eligibility.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's going to rejoin because they can pay athletes now, so you can just go back to college.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
So
I'll support your
I heard Avery's also going for the job, so.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll probably go for it.
Yeah.
Why would you
I mean, Jordy, you should just pretend to be Mike Smith. Like, just do everything Mike Smith does.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
I just copy and paste all my training.
You think Mike Smith is going for it?
You never know.
I think Colorado's... I don't think Colorado's his. It's too low for him.
What conference are they moving to?
Big 12.
12, right?
The Big Sky.
Well, what would happen if...
They wouldn't be allowed in there.
What if Dave took the job?
Well, that's what I was showing George. There is an article up that says that Dathan has already taken the job.
No.
I'm not kidding. Joe just posted in the group chat. It says here, CU Boulder alum Dathan Ritzehine set to take over the men and women's cross country and track and field program following Mark Wetmore's departure.
But it's not a real news account.
Is it a joke account?
I don't know. It's not.
What's it called?
The Daily Camera. It has 96,000 followers.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
This is us live.
Well, I was just reading the headline above that. It looked like a joke.
Daily Camera?
The one, the next article.
I thought
it was like a spinoff.
Well, it's an article that says, me, a chef, well, yes, thanks to America's Test Kitchen.
Is this us live finding out that our coach fired us?
Well, I heard that Tyson Meehy's taken over as head coach role.
Wait, head coach?
Yeah, and then Kelsey's also going with Dathan, so we lose Kelsey as well. So assistant coach job is also opened up, so if you guys want to put an application for the OEC.
It is funny how, if you think about it, it'd be really cool to draw a diagram. If you think about every time a big coaching role opens up, the domino effects from it. Because let's say this job opens up, then someone from a good school is going to take this job.
And then that job's going to open
that
up.
That job is open. And it's just a constant.
It's hopscotch.
It's a constant, circle going around. So good.
So if Mark Smith left, do you reckon a lot of people would go for the NAU job?
Yeah.
Probably go vacant for a while.
Yeah.
Gotta live in Flagstaff. Who'd want to do that?
I think Haas would take over. I think Haas would take that job. I'm not kidding. I think I could see Haas doing it. He does everything else.
Yeah. Why not?
These guys are running damn good too.
Yeah. Why not? Add a bit more to that plate. Yeah. Well, guys, we'll keep you guys updated if we still have a coach next week. Heading into the Olympics, we'll find out.
Yeah.
But absolutely amazing track action again. Best of luck to all our teammates. Oh, we didn't even mention Olivia through to the final in the steeplechase, looking real good.
How do you pronounce Olivia's name?
Olivia.
I think you just gotta.
No, her last name.
Markovic, I don't know.
Markovic?
You just gotta say it, mumble it really quickly.
Markovic.
I think there's a Z in there, isn't there?
Markovic.
Zid?
Markovic.
Is it Zid in there?
Markovic. Markazinga. Markazinga Burger.
Zinga Burger.
Who knows?
The pheasant zinger.
Yeah. We're not the three people to ask how to pronounce something.
Do you reckon Dathan will claim Olivia's, if she makes the team, will Dathan claim it as his coaching for the past?
Is he coaching her?
Like 3 days? I think so.
Is he, though?
I'm going to say no. They have like a bunch of steeplechases there. Like all from Notre Dame.
Yeah, they do. I saw some others. Yeah. So probably not. He'll claim her Olympic medal, though.
Yeah, because that transition's full at that point.
Yeah,
like Mario when he got fourth at Worlds.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Alrighty.
Yeah, best of luck to all those competing. We'll be following along the action just like all you guys will. We're very excited. But yeah, that's it for episode 143 of the Coffee Club podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye. Boys from Coffee Ciao. Club.